Tango Tango Papa 1669, July 1st, 2012.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from home. Let's see, I got home several days ago. And, you know, so I've been home for several days and been kind of keeping pretty busy. Let's see, the day after I got home, I think I got home Tuesday, if I'm thinking correctly, last Tuesday. And so then Wednesday, I had a, if I've got the days correct, I had a dental appointment. And so was able to get the dental appointment taken care of. They, you know, there was a permanent cap, a crown that they installed in there. And they also cleaned my teeth, and so kind of got that taken care of for a few months. And other than that, I've been kind of hanging out with my parents. Of course, my parents came up here for the summer from South Texas, and so they're around, and so I've been spending as much time as possible kind of hanging around with them and kind of just taking it easy, relaxing, not doing a whole lot of anything, and other than just family stuff, family dinners and so on and so forth. And and that's fine. That's just fine. So but otherwise, it's been very hot, and I'm sure that's no surprise. You know, a lot of people are probably either in the heat or they're hearing about it. So, I don't know. Now, I guess if you're in the real extreme heat, then it's probably you've got something to really complain about. But the heat, to be perfectly honest, the heat hasn't been that bad, as bad as it could be. Because it's been the past several days since I've been home, it's been 100 degrees or 101 degrees or 102 degrees for the high, and then it kind of cools off down into the 70s usually at night. And we always end up with 100 degree days just about every summer. There are some exceptions to that. I think, you know, I don't remember how last summer, I think last summer was fairly hot. And then maybe the summer before that, I think, was a cooler one. But we always end up with, you know, we can easily end up with 100-degree days. And, of course, there's a bit of a drought going on. It's dry. It hasn't rained. And that's also kind of typical. but I guess some areas are getting kind of extreme heat. Norton, Kansas, according to the article I read, Norton, Kansas, which is kind of in northwestern Kansas near the Kansas-Nebraska border, reached a temperature of 118 degrees. And that's pretty warm. Probably the hottest that it's ever been there before. I don't know. I think the thing might, you know, it did break a record. But, I remember, of course, I was born and raised in Kansas, and I lived quite a bit in Kansas. Around 1980 or 81, and I don't know, I'd probably be able to find the record somewhere, but it was 1980 or 81, somewhere in that area, somewhere in that time frame. there was a year where it was very hot. We had a string of days where it was 110 degrees, 112 degrees, 100, and, you know, it was very, very hot. And that went on for, it seemed like it went on for more than a week. And so those things happen. And, you know, I know it's, I don't know, it seems like nowadays the, and it's more extreme than ever. People, you know, the news media, the weather people in the news media will make, they try to make it seem like it's never happened before and so on and so forth. And, you know, it's, of course it's happened before, you know, and they, oh, records are being broken. Well, there's records that are broken all the time. You know, my entire life, there's always weather records, you know, that are being broken. And, you know, it's the weather, and it's not consistent. You know, generally you can sort of predict certain trends, you know, like spring, fall, winter, and summer. But as far as specific predictions or specific temperatures on specific dates, you're going to get a range of them, and, you know, and it's not written in stone. So, I don't know, but it's the weather. So, but anyway, I thought that I might have been having a problem with my air conditioner here in the house because it seemed like it wasn't cooling very well. So I actually called a guy out to come look at it. Now, obviously, I'm not going to call the guy that installed it because the guy that installed it, you know, the Paul Bradley character. I talked about that before. He ended up, you know, in a kind of a kidnapping thing. You know, he kidnapped this woman and so on and so forth and strapped a fake bomb to her leg. You know, this happened around Christmas. Just, you know, if you want to find out about the story, type in Paul into Google, Paul and then Bradley and Arkansas. And you'll find out all about, you can kind of sift through and Northwest Arkansas, Fayetteville, Arkansas. Find out all the nitty gritty details of, you know, and this guy was my furnace guy. You know, he had a furnace repair business. And, you know, so not about to call him. So anyway, I called this other company, and they came out. The guy came out and looked, and he was very nice. And I told him he's probably on a wild goose chase, but he came out and he checked the levels and made sure that, you know, and everything was okay. But what the problem is Mr. Bradley sold me an air conditioner that was probably, you know, on air conditioners like that, they go by what they call tons. And so for a house this size, you'd probably need a six-ton unit, and that would probably be able to handle it without any problem. A five-ton unit would might also be able to handle it, but a four-ton, you know, the four-ton unit that he sold me, this house is just over 2,000 square feet. A four-ton unit is just not quite large enough, and so it, in this hot weather, it is warming up in here as the day progresses. So I, let's say I have right now, I've got the thermostat set on 70 degrees, and it is shutting off at night somewhat. It's shutting off, it shuts down, but during the day, it you know, periodically it'll shut down. But during the day, it's running steady. It's running steadily, and even with it running steadily, the temperature can increase by as much as, 10 degrees. And because the unit just isn't big enough to handle a 2,000 square foot house. So, you know, what do you do? So, you know, I'm not going to replace it. Just leave it, and it's not that much of a hardship, and it's not always this hot. you know, the only time it's going to be this hot is when I come home in, you know, July or August or whenever. Then obviously it's going to be hot, but, you know, but then during other times of the year, when it's not quite this hot, then, you know, the thing should be able to handle the, you know, whatever cooling requirements I have, should be able to handle it okay. And in this case it does, it just gets a little warmer than what it, you know, ends up being warmer than it should, but it's still livable. So did that. Also, you know, I had when I was home the last time, my television, the plasma television, kind of made a loud popping noise, and the thing quit. And so I took it to a place up in Springdale that works on televisions, and they ended up replacing a what you call that, an upper buffer board, whatever that is. And with a digital television, so I guess it's got some kind of buffer board or whatever. So anyway, they replaced that, and so I went ahead and had them deliver the television. So they brought that, actually, they brought that Tuesday afternoon. The day I got home, before they got here. My parents were here anyway. So, but in any case, they brought it, and it's working great again, and so that problem is solved, and it was easier for me to just pay them to deliver it than it was to make the trip up there and haul the thing back home and then have to carry it in and what have you. So got that, but otherwise, I've just been, as I say, I've been hanging around a lot with my parents, and I've been kind of playing with a few little toys. I did order a sort of like a wireless GPS unit. And the idea with this is that the one I ordered will actually pair up with an iPod or an iPad, or it will pair up with a computer, so you can pair it up with a laptop, and it'll go through, you know, it goes via Bluetooth, or you can plug it into a laptop, and then the laptop will pick it up through the USB. So, but the reason that I got it was so that I could actually experiment with and use the both the iPad and the iPod with different GPS applications. And so that's just kind of something to play with, you know, because nowadays there's all kinds of GPS applications that are available. Some of them are free and some of them you have to pay for. On an iPad or an iPod. And so, you know, it's just an extra little tool. And so I actually bought a couple of applications. One of them I went ahead and bought the TomTom application for the, you know, and it's the application is iPod and iPad both. It's called Universal App. And so I bought that, and that basically turns the iPod or the iPad into a TomTom unit. And I also bought another one. It's HEMA. That's the company that makes it, I guess. And the difference with it is it's more of an atlas. So if you're familiar with a paper atlas, you know, like the big road atlas that I still have one of those, but I tend not to grab it very often, but I do have it just in case I need it. The problem with GPS, if you have a GPS unit, is that it's really great at getting you from point A to point B usually, but it's not so great when it comes to trying to get a broad overview or a map type of overview that you'd get in a conventional road map. A conventional road map has a white background, and it has the, you know, and you got certain colors, and it shows the major roads. It doesn't show you too much detail, sort of an intermediate level of detail. It shows you the major stuff, and you can get a much better idea of where you're going, you know, of a route, or which way would be a better route. So you could, by just visually looking at it, versus what comes up on a GPS. You know, if you try to back away, you know, zoom out on the GPS screen, typically what it ends up showing up isn't very useful at all in terms of getting a broad overview. So this is more like an atlas type of view. And so I bought that. That was $9.99. That will actually come in very handy because there are times when I need to have a kind of a broad overview of, you know, a map type of overview of where I'm at and where I'm going, and excuse me, of where I'm at versus, you know, to where I'm going, and which route would be better. Because, you know, there are times when the GPS doesn't necessarily pick the best route, or there may be a better route, or there may be a way that I want to go that, you know, that even if it's out of the way a little bit, it might be a better route than, you know, than what the GPS is picking. So, got that. And then, also, I don't know if I mentioned or not, I don't think I did. You know, periodically I'll write articles for geeknewscentral.com, and so Todd Cochran sent me this Magellan GPS. It's actually a trucker GPS. He sent it to me to kind of test and write a review about. And so since I've been home, I've been kind of playing with it a little bit, and so once I go back to work, I'm heading back to work actually on Monday. Today was Saturday, tomorrow's Sunday, and as I record this, actually it's early Sunday morning. It's like 12:30 a.m. Sunday morning, but so I go back to work Monday. And so once I go back to work, I'll have, you know, that Magellan GPS. I'll take it with me and kind of use it and compare it to the Garmin. And so I've already seen that there's certain features about it that I do like, but then there are some features that are sort of missing that the Garmin has. And so get a little bit better feel and spend some more time with it, then I'll go ahead and write a review and post it up on geeknewscentral.com. And once I do that, I'll try to mention it. If I remember to mention it, I'll mention it in the podcast. So it's got its strong points. This thing's got a 7-inch screen, widescreen, touchscreen. So it's got a nice big display, but it's not quite as it lacks some of the features that the Garmin has, and then it's got a couple of other features that the Garmin actually doesn't have. So, you know, there's no such thing as a perfect device, you know, and with GPSs. You know, even though they do sort of the same job getting you from one place to the other, they kind of, each manufacturer kind of goes about it from a little bit different way. And so you end up with some different results and, you know, just different features. So, but I'll be writing a review about that. So, but let's see, what else? So I've just kind of been, you know, playing with different electronics and spending time with my parents quite a bit. Now, of course, the other day, I guess about 3 or 4 days ago, Obamacare, the Supreme Court came out and said, you know, Obamacare's, it's constitutional. It's constitutional to force American citizens to buy something. You just call it a tax. And if you really look at that, it's absurd, because because the way it's written, if you have insurance, then you don't have to pay the penalty, but if you don't have insurance, then, they're forcing you to pay the penalty. But, so you're taxing, so you're going to tax someone if they don't buy something, but, so it's absurd. So the person that's buying something is, in effect, you're buying your way out of paying a tax. So is that really a tax? That seems more like slavery to me. And of course, that's what it is. But the Chief Justice Roberts, and of course, the news media, they said that the Supreme Court came out and said that Obamacare was constitutional. Chief Justice Roberts, the news media has been kind of fawning over him. And there's this picture of him where he's kind of got, pardon my French, he's got this shit-eating grin on his face, and he's like Mr. Pretty Boy. Kind of reminds me of John Edwards, the guy that was running for vice president with John Kerry a few years ago. Real pretty looking guy and what have you, and this guy's a traitor. He presented himself as a conservative. Of course, George Bush, who was not really conservative, nominated him to the Supreme Court, and that's how he got on the Supreme Court. And this guy is basically a traitor, and he's not a conservative. But some people, were kind of getting upset. Well, the government, the Supreme Court sold us out. Well, every branch of government now has sold us out. So, quite frankly, we deserve what we've got. I hate to tell you, but we deserve what we've got. Because as the American people, our morals have slid into the toilet. They really have. With far too many people, our morals have gone right down the drain. And, once that happens, once you lose your morals, once too many people in a country lose their morals, then the government, then you have insanity. And that happened, I've been listening to this audio version of the King James Version of the Bible, and I'm still in the early parts of it, and the ancient Israelites, it's just over and over again, they'd kind of wax and wane. They'd kind of straighten themselves out a little bit, and then before you know it, they were right back to their old ways, and their morals were kind of going in the toilet, and it kept going back and forth and back and forth, and then to the point, and I'm not to the point yet where they just go too far, basically, and they end up getting scattered to the four corners of the earth, and they lost their country. Of course, they got it back, and that's the only country Israel's the only country in the history of the world that actually got got the country back. The country was finally reconstituted in 1947. And so we've lost our morals, and it's just whether you want to believe in God or not, or whether you want to think there's anything that's a genuine morality or not, you want to think it's all relative and that we're all making it up or whatever, there can be no such thing as a sort of a moral gold standard. I'm sorry, just look at the results, and that will tell you whether or not there is, whether or not morality, if you're honest, you have to see that morality, genuine morality, does account for something. And if you lose it, if you lose your morals as a nation, then it goes over the cliff. And that's the way it works. Now, let's say Obama is kicked out of office, you know, whenever and Mitt Romney wins the election in November. That's not going to solve the problem. And even if Obamacare was repealed in its entirety, that's still not going to solve the problem. We've got to straighten our morals up. That's the only thing that can fix this. There is no political solution. I'm sorry. And if you think that there is, or you think that you're going to somehow solve this, that it can be solved politically, you've got another thing coming. It cannot be. It will not be. It's insanity, and it'll be insane, increasingly insane, unless and until we get the moral thing straightened out. We have to have a moral revival. Now, that can happen, and there are people now that believe that it is happening. It is starting to happen. That we really are having some sort of moral revival, and I hope that's the case. But that is the only answer. Otherwise, it's going to be an increasingly insane world, and increasingly bad things are going to happen, whether you like it or not. And you can try to think you're as scientific and so on and so forth as you can possibly, you know, and you're delusional. So, but let's hope that there is some sort of a moral revival. But let's say Obama gets ousted out of office. He loses. He only has one term. Mitt Romney gets in. As I say, we've still got serious problems, because now that even if Obamacare is repealed, now that now that politicians know that they can do something like this, you know, that it's you can just raise, you know, really just, you know, come up with cockamamie things and call it a tax increase. Just watch and see what happens, you know, because we're really going over the cliff now. You know, a number of years ago, and I've talked about this before, you know, all this anti-smoking thing kind of swept through different cities. All these towns and states across the country were, and quite frankly, around the world, all these government bodies were saying, oh, well, you know, no smoking. We're going to ban smoking in public, you know, in so-called public places, or even, you know, even though private restaurants or private property, no, because the public's in there, we can ban it. And they did it. They banned it. And now, you know, there wasn't much opposition, and, you know, it was like taking candy away from a baby, you know, because those are private property rights. There were a lot of people that didn't say anything, because there's a lot of people that don't like to smell smoke in a restaurant and what have you, and so they just kind of didn't say anything, and even though it was a property right violation, they just kind of went along with it. And thought that they were kind of benefiting from it. Oh, well, don't want to make any waves. And so then it wasn't, I knew that once that happened, that it was just a matter of time before other really more onerous things started happening. And now look what's happening. You know, Mayor Bloomberg's got his soda ban, and, you know, they're talking about banning all kinds of things now. And there's nothing to stop them. Who's going to stop them? So, you know, it's going to, you know, it's there unless we straighten our morals up, and that's the key. And getting angry at these people is not the solution. You know, resenting these people, you know, resentful style anger, judgmental style anger is not the solution. You cannot cure this with judgment. It you know, human judgment, it ain't gonna happen. It just makes it worse. So we live in interesting times. But you know, there's a good chance that we, you know, unless there's some sort of moral revival that, you know, massive, you know, kind of massive moral revival that really takes place, unless that happens, it's going to get increasingly chaotic and, it's, you know, there are already a lot of people that have been caught up in it, and it's going to get worse. And who knows where it goes. So, but anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off, see if I can get headed to bed, and you know, got one more day to go, and then, as I say, back to work on Monday. So, hope everyone is having a great weekend, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.